You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. The end of the week slurp.
We're going to have to
carry
you over
to
Monday. We're going to have to wind up, seeing if our listeners can guess how many cups of Tim Hortons you've had by the 1,000th episode. You know, on air. How many you've had on air.
Wow.
By the 1,000th episode. And by the way, episode 1,000 is coming up. It will be a video program.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to put it out and probably on YouTube and send the link out and let you know where it's at. Hey, I got a big surprise for you. Somebody did something for us. Very special. And I'm gonna bring it and show it to you on the 1,000. Yeah, I've got something for you. Really cool. You're going to love it, man. It's really neat. And I want to surprise you with it. So
great.
I was going to show you. I was going to let you know, but I'm going to wait. And I think you'll really enjoy it. So I just got it at the Man Up conference here that we did a few weeks ago.
Awesome.
And by the way, great response. 350 guys. Brother Scott Pauley, Brother Pete Folger, preach for us. Tremendous meeting. And looking forward to many more of those. And if you're listening and you'd ever like to get involved in something like that, I would love to help you with that. There is a tremendous one in Mansfield, Ohio.
Amen.
I would never even tell you to go anywhere other than that if you're in that area. It's tremendous.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And just a great
always right around Veterans Day.
Yeah, so, but if you're not near them and you'd like to do something like that, I'm telling you, we need more of those in more places for
Amen.
Sure. So there it is for you. So
Amen.
That's it. That's it.
Yes, and I want to say hello to the students at Heritage Christian School in Brooklyn, Ohio.
Yeah.
I was able to be there for chapel last week, and it was their spiritual emphasis week. And so they had three different graduates come in on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then they got off of school for Easter break. So good spiritual emphasis, get them all going, and then kick them out the door.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Now go serve Jesus.
Now get out of here.
Awesome.
Now go
That's
serve
right.
Jesus. But
man.
I had a good time with them. Good time with
them. Good. I was able to influence guys to listen to Tim Talks at that Man Up conference.
Amen.
We had a number of guys that are already listening. Good crowd of guys, a lot of young people. And so, yeah, that was neat. I like when we can make the plug. And then I was just with Brother Walken. He said, hey, please tell our people about Tim Talks. He listens regularly. And so shout out to them at Norwalk Baptist and Brother Rich, great guy.
Amen.
And
he is.
Great things there. Seen some good things happen.
Yes, he is.
And,
he's weathered through
brother,
a lot, and he's a good man. He's a good man.
He has. There's a guy that took a church and had to do some rebuild.
Yes.
And they had a church that was doing very well. They had some bad things happen, and he came in and has worked through that. He's doing well.
Amen.
It's not been easy, but it's been good. So
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. All right. Well, we talked about on Wednesday some things that maybe we started to help rebuild a church. And on Wednesday, we kind of tailed off with some things that we had to close out. But I didn't close out much. There wasn't much to close out, to be honest with you. So I did a lot of starting. And one of the things we started, had to kind of close out there for a little bit. We started a bus ministry, and this church had never had that, never seen that. I shouldn't say that. They had a van route. They had a van route that they would pick up kids and do that, but they never had a bus, and it was never more than, I think, just the one van. So we started a bus route, and man, it was so exciting. We went knocking on a street in town. It's called Simcoe Street, after Governor General Simcoe, who was a huge British military leader in the War of 1812, and he founded most of southern Ontario.
I knew there was a reason I hated that guy.
Yeah.
Yes. War of 1812.
My hometown named after him. Right. Simcoe Street. So we go knocking there, and there's a bunch of kids out on the street in the day. And there were about 20, 30 kids. And I said, who's the toughest guy here? And this guy stepped up. I am. And they're like, yeah, he is. He is. I said, how tough are you? And he goes, I'm tough. I said, tough enough to come to church Sunday? Tough enough to bring these guys with you? He goes, yeah, I'm tough enough to do that. I said, all right. So I said, we'll see you Sunday. I'll bring the bus by. We drove the bus. Nobody got on. Nobody was there. I was so disappointed. I really thought they were coming. So the bus pulls in. They got like six people. I'm like, where's all those kids? There's like 15 of them. Nothing. So I get up and I start my Sunday school lesson. And about 10 minutes in, here comes walking in 18 kids.
That's awesome.
With this guy leading the band.
That is awesome.
And he leading them in there. He goes, I'm sorry we missed the bus. He said, I had to get a couple other guys, and we couldn't get back to the bus fast enough. They walk in. They all sit down, man. I was so excited.
That's great.
I was so pumped. I think I preached the greatest message I've ever preached that Sunday. Oh, I was just so fired up. And there's those people that didn't want to grow past 50. Turn around, look at all them kids, and you can see their eyes roll, and you can see the steam coming off the top of their heads. They've got kids
messing
from the low-income housing. Right. So that's what we started. And that bus ministry, you know, we, for a very long time, we ran, you know, 50, 60, 70 kids on that bus until it dwindled down. And then we went to Wednesdays and the thing took off like
Amen.
A rocket. So, yeah. So that bus ministry was something we started.
Amen.
How about you?
Well, we started sort of slowly. We would do a junior church. But I think before junior church, we did a teen class. So, you know, we did some struggling. And, you know, finally, you know, we decided, all right, if my wife teaches the teens, it's not technically she's teaching men. You know, so she'll just sort of, you know, careful with that. So then we got a teen teacher. Then she started junior church. And so, you know, until we got somebody to take over junior church, then on Wednesdays, she started the Patch the Pirate Club, and she took that for a while until we turned over the Patch the Pirate Club.
What'd you
to
do?
Somebody else. Well,
what'd you do?
I was busy sleeping the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I keep joking around that she was the best assistant pastor that I've ever had, you know. But
yeah, you're not kidding.
To tell you the truth, I think she was the pastor and I was the assistant. So
yeah,
but so we started, and our biggest need, I felt one of our biggest needs was music. And then after four years, my son came. He graduated from college and came back and did the music. And so you know, that really, really helped us. A lot. And then, of course, you know, as he's grown into the position of assistant pastor, probably the last 5 years, it was a little bit before COVID, so maybe longer than that, just about every good idea that we've done has been his idea. And so, you know, he's really helped in that area. But eventually, I just run out of ideas. Now, you don't, because you're an idea guy.
No.
And I am somebody that can take an idea and implement it and into
your
the practicality
guy.
And stuff like that. But I really, I'm a better copier and stealer than I am an innovator. And, you know, so, but you always have been an idea guy. And yeah, idea people come up with the stupidest ideas, but they keep coming up with ideas. And that's why they come up with a gem. I mean, phenomenal. Yeah. Ideas. So, you know, that's the difference between us is, you know, I'm a little bit slow and careful, and but man, you've got the ideas for sure.
Well, but you need a logistics guy as well. I needed a Mike Holland.
Yes.
And
amen.
He's the logistics guy. In fact,
amen.
I just spent some time with him going to the Man Up conference in Simcoe, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in a bit of a funk. I'm not in a good place. I'm turmoiled. And I came to the realization that I've got all these ideas, but I don't know how to implement them because I don't have him working with me anymore.
Yes. Yes.
And so I said, I need a logistics guy. So he helped me with that, and Amen. I was glad for that. And he was saying, well, I need some vision. I need some ideas of how to do some things. So we just got to get together more. That's what we need to do.
In the early days of Cleveland Baptist, you had maybe it was an unholy trinity. I don't know. But you had Brother Thompson, who was preaching phenomenally. And then you had my dad, who was tremendous in music. And probably, I'm not in an unbiased opinion, probably the best music director I've ever seen. And he was always joking before church, after church. So he helps with the atmosphere. And then you had Bob Folger, who was, I mean, Mr. Character and workaholic. You know, those three integrated together to create this core at Cleveland Baptist that you know, somebody attracted to one of those polar positions, and it just grew out. You know, the hard workers would attract to Bob Folger, and you know, it just it was a great thing. So you do need some key people whenever you're especially rebuilding a church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting the right people in to help Amen. You is instrumental. And Mike Holland was my guy for that.
Amen.
And Steve was your guy for that. I did look something up here. You made mention of something that kind of piqued my curiosity. So I'd heard years ago, you'd said, you know, you put up 100 ideas and you get one gem out of it. And as an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb.
Yep.
When a reporter asked, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps.
There you go.
I like this. He said, when you've exhausted all possibilities, remember this, you haven't.
Yes.
That's good. I like that.
That is great.
That's good. And I would say that if you're today that guy that's trying to rebuild a church, you got to think outside the box. You've got to be creative, and you have to try some things that maybe nobody else has ever tried before. There will be opposition. I'm telling you, there will be opposition. If you've got a church of any age, if they've been around, you know, more than a few years, there are going to be people that have settled in to what they're doing and having always done it that way, and you're going to have to overcome that. And you're going to have to pitch it. You're going to have to demonstrate. You're going to have to probably do a lot of the work. But you've got to come up with something that moves that church forward under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But it takes some creativity sometimes to be able to do that.
Yeah. Burden and prayer, you know, the direction of God. But be confident in the fact that God can. I mean, Jesus loves this church more than I do. And the way that he has protected it, the way that he has led it, the way that it has grown, the way that he keeps us from. I mean, over 22 years now, this has been a common thing where we'll see visitors, and you can tell a church visitor versus a regular visitor, you know, somebody who came from another church and maybe they're looking. And, you know, there's been so many times that, you know, people would come, maybe a family, maybe a couple, and, you know, it just never clicked with them, you know. And I'd be thinking, oh, Lord, how come, you know, what I do wrong, what I did that? And then in a year later, you hear that they caused some big problem at another church in the area.
Right.
And it's like, oh, my goodness, Lord, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for protecting us. You know, and I mean, that's happened probably 7 or 8 times. And it's like, well, thank God, Lord, keep us safe. I mean, the Lord loves that church more than you do. And just make sure you're walking with him and he's going to show you.
It's funny how people, when they hear there's a new preacher in town, it's funny how those people, you know, radiate to you, what they find you. They're thinking, I couldn't, you know, control the last guy, but maybe I can control this guy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this guy will listen to my wacky ideas and he'll support my, you know, way out wacky ideas. They will come. Trust me, they'll find you. My pastor said the gospel light attracts many a strange bug. And believe me, they will try to find you and they'll come back. People that have left will try to come back. and think, you know, things are different now, and just be careful.
And they're,
you know,
welcome.
Make sure you find out who people are.
That's the whole thing. They're welcome. But, you know, you're going to walk in line. We're not going to adapt to you. Hopefully we all adapt to the scriptures. And, you know, that's the rule. And if you can't adapt to that, then, you know, this may not be the place for you. And so, you know, as I'm preaching, especially in those first, you know, 4 to 5 years, I wasn't being a maniac. I wasn't being a someone that was trying to overstep authority or be, you know, ultra authoritarian or anything like that. But people just know I don't think that we can get by with the nonsense here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sad to say there are a lot of pastors who they preach well, and outside the pulpit, they just can't tell somebody no. They can't look at them in the eye and say, no, we're not going to do that here. I'm sorry. You know, and people can tell. And, you know, once you start getting steamrolled, you know, you're not the under-shepherd anymore.
No. You have to, and I say this with caution, you have to be willing and able to lose people in this situation to gain people.
Yes.
And not that you want to.
Yes.
You've said it well.
Yep.
Not that you want to. It kills when anybody, because you work so hard
That's
to get
right.
people. You don't want to lose one of them.
That's right.
But there are times when you have to tell people, no, that we're not going to be that church. We're not going to have that program. We're not going to change our Bible, our music, our whatever. And if you want to come and join with us, and that's what I always told people, you're joining us. We're not joining you. And I would also tell people, come for 6 months. Just come and be a part of the service.
Amen.
Come and see who we are. And then after 6 months, if they were a member of another church or coming, you know, into an area, come for 6 months. After 6 months, then let's talk about church membership. I would rather date you and break up than marry you and divorce, I would tell them. And that worked out well for us. That worked well.
Amen.
Hey, here's another thing I did is I padded our pews.
Oh, that's
that's a
right.
Great story.
That is right. Yes, so, I forgot about that.
Remember that? Right. So we had old wooden pews, and they were a disaster. They were so hard.
They reminded me of like a congregational church in the 1600s, you know.
Yes. They were so uncomfortable. And we had an incident where this boy came to visit. He was a big boy. He was like 10 or 12 years old and weighed like 160 pounds. He was big. And he's sitting on those pews, and he ripped one. And that thing resonated like, oh,
it's
my goodness.
Echo chamber.
It just shook the whole pew. And unfortunately, I was sitting on the pew with him, and everybody in the church heard it, and that kid turns and looks at me like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, my word. At that point, I thought, we need to pad these pews. So it was so bad. Jeff Roberts was preaching. He was our assistant pastor. He was preaching. He stopped and looked down at us. Unbelievable. So we had no money whatsoever. And padded pews were very, very expensive. And so I thought, I came up with this great idea. We're going to get carpet and we'll carpet them, but I needed some foam. And we had a guy in our church that worked for a company that made seats for cars. And so they had these foam seats from cars. And I thought, we'll use that. And so I had an old friend who was a carpet layer. And I brought him in and I said, hey, do you think you could stretch carpet over this foam and make it like a pad of pew? And he's like, yeah, I think I can do it. And so we had foamed back carpet, mistake number one.
Yes.
And we had these chunks of foam that were so stinking thick. They were so thick. I mean, it's a car seat.
Yes.
And so now you're sitting up like a foot and a half off the pew. So that was no good. So we had to cut all the foam. We had to square up the ends. We had to, you know, try to get those in and then put the carpet. And it worked pretty well. But the problem was the carpet started to stretch as people sat on it. So you'd come in and you could tell where everybody sat.
There's an indentation,
by the imprint
yes.
in the carpet. Yeah, the indentation. It was terrible. It was terrible.
But for for aesthetics, they look like carpet bag pews.
Yes. Yes, exactly. People to walk in and go, oh, what's that? It's like, that's carpet.
See, so if we this is the lesson. Do everything first class.
Oh yeah, everything, first class.
First class.
Everything. Unless you don't have any money
exactly,
and then you do that.
Exactly. You do what you can, man.
Yeah, we needed
Take
it, but
baby
I just couldn't
steps
afford
forward.
It. Hey. People enjoyed the comfort. It didn't look so great, but it was comfortable. It's kind of like putting one of those things in your shoes, you know, arch support in your shoes, one of those foam pads in your old shoes. The shoes don't look great, but they're more comfortable.
And flatulence was never a problem for Dr. Al Stone in service anymore.
Oh, you're not kidding. Oof. Wow. Oh, that was hilarious. That kid, I could have killed him.
That is
it was so funny.
That is so good.
He turns and looks at me. He turns and looks at me. Jeff Roberts looks down from the pulpit. I just shrugged my shoulders like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I got nothing.
That is so funny.
That kid got me, man. He got me good. So he looked at me like he shrinks his face up. What are you doing? The only thing that would have been better is if he'd taken his hand and waved it in front of his face.
Oh, man. Oh, that reminds me
that's
of
Friday.
What Dave Cook would do to Bob Folger whenever he had that one car where the window buttons were on the console. And so we'd pull up to some light and, you know, sometimes if there's maybe a girl or a few girls in a car next to us, Dave Cook would go, hey, Bob, you know them? And Bob Folger would, like, turn his whole body, because he didn't turn his neck too good, turn his whole body, looks out the window, and Dave Cook would reach over, honk the horn, and roll the window down. And so Bob's looking out his driver's window, and Dave's rolling the window down, and he honked his horn, and Bob's looking, and they roll the window down, like, yeah, what do you want?
He just said, you jerk.
Exactly.
The other thing you'd do is you'd have me sit in the middle between Bob and Dave, and then he would do the same thing to a bunch of guys, but then he would duck down, so it was me and Bob
like
sitting
right,
Bob next,
sitting
to
right next to each other.
I'd put my arm around Bob. He'd say, get your hand. Good times. Good times.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. So there you go. If you're taking a church, hey, exciting things can happen. Be careful.
Yes.
Be on guard. Wow.
Do right.
Wow.
Yep. Don't be afraid to start new things. Don't be afraid of losing people. Don't be an idiot and make everybody go. But, man, be passionate about what God's done. And, I mean, I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled to be here, even though it was, I still remember the first day we hit 50 on a Wednesday. You know, I was like, whoa, you know, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I felt like, and I say it oftentimes during those days, I felt like I was at the helm of a very small ship, and that ship was being borne about by 50 and 80 foot waves. And everybody in the boat's looking at me saying, wow, you're a great pilot. And we're just going wherever the waves are taking us. You know, so, you know, let the Lord be in charge.
And then you hit a large bridge and it fell down.
No, our ship was so small it just went boink, just bounced right off of it.
Bounced off and kept going. I would say this, transition is hard. I don't care if you have 20 or 2,000, transition's hard. And there's going to be some difficulties in any situation where you take an established work. And, you know, Paul said, not building on another man's work. He understood some of the difficulties. But I'll tell you this, having that church building and that parsonage for me put me light years ahead. Somebody had worked hard and gotten the church to that point.
Amen.
I am so, so thankful for the work of those that were able to do that. And, oh, my goodness, I'm so thankful. But yeah, you're gonna face some things. Be ready for that. Be kind, be gentle. I would say be slow and steady. Don't try to change everything today. Take your time. Let people adjust.
Change things quickly. because that's what they want. Yep. You know, you want something new, yeah. even though they may buck against it. And by the way, yeah. what was it like being a trans pastor?
I don't know.
You said you were transitioning. So
transitioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I transitioned from a guy that had no care to the guy that had the cares of the world on my shoulders. That's what I was transitioning to. Woo, buddy. Wow, what a week. Good week.
Amen.
And for those of you that are thinking about serving the Lord, you've got those options. And that's something to think about. And if you're thinking about taking a church, call us. We'd love to help you and tell you some things that maybe to look for, or things that you know, were good for us or didn't work for us, and help you out with that. We'd love to do
Amen.
That. And if you're in that church as a church member, hey, understand your pastor wants very much to get as many people as they possibly can into that church so they can hear the gospel.
Amen.
Be a help to him. Encourage him. I'm Al Stone. That's my word for today.
This is Dan Wolven. My word for the day is transition. So that's
transition.
What Pastor Al Stone said that he was doing. He was transitioning. So we'll just leave that there.
Keep talking and your pew's gonna rumble. I gotta find that kid.
That kid, let's see. He's gotta be probably 50 years old now.
Oh,
is probably
he's
gonna
years
tower
old.
Over you. Probably looks like a lumberjack. If he was that big at 10 years old, man.
Can you imagine? This is Tim Talks. I gotta go. We'll be back on Monday with something very serious, very stoic.
Yes.
Something very, very serious. No, that's another podcast. That's not ours.
This is All Things Baptist.
Yeah, and some things that aren't even that. This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Monday, eh? And we'll look forward to having you. Have a great weekend. And, man, what a tremendous week, knowing that we have a resurrected Savior.
Amen.
We can serve him today, a living Savior. Go serve him this weekend in your local church, and we'll be back with you on Monday. This is Tim Talks. Have a great weekend, eh?
Amen.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.